Yeah. Saxophone in the house. Good morning. Welcome to worship at the table. We are very grateful that it's morning and that you woke up this morning. And so I'm going to invite you this morning to see if you want to sing about that very thing. What's the word? Morning. Let's stand.
Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous, uncomplicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, What else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
So glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
I've been telling myself, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. When I was in Fiji, which I went for holiday, somebody asked me, how do you keep your faith and be you? Very strong question. Very hard one, too, at times to explain to someone. I was telling, I have love of God in me, and I felt the love of God because I go to a place called the table, and I feel that. And I'm thank you and grateful for each and every one of you for filling my cup,
fulfilling my cup and overflowing my cup, and I went back and I gave it to them. I love you all. We welcome those online at the tabletop.life. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. Right now, I'm still thinking not to cry. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about our table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share life here at the table. A retreat was hosted earlier this month at the table, and we have two more Growing in Faith retreats scheduled for this summer. First, a retreat here at the table in Sacramento on August 11th and 12th. And second, another retreat at Davis UMC on August 25th and 26th. We invite you to learn more and sign up for one which works best for you on our website, thetableumc.org. I'd like to say Bob, Debbie, and Lisa, thank you for working so hard behind the scene over the last 2 months to help transition our hospitality team to a new scheduling system which is called Planning Center. We have so many incredible people who help in worship on Sunday through this role with hospitality team. And the most amazing part about this is that everybody came together. And I was back home. Pastor Matt said, do not log in and check anything. Confession, I did. I went into a planning center. And I kept looking, like, ooh, wow, this is full. People are actually using it, and it felt so great. So we'll be outside. Please sign up. We have a QR code. You can use your phone. You use your phone, and just it will take you to the link. We will have next in step. You can actually ask questions with Lisa, who will be there. And I'm here to answer any questions. And this is an amazing way to connect with everybody and just being together in love. We invite you to remain seated and join in a spirit of prayer as our music team shares a song called Before and After by Kerry Newcomer.
Once I saw the sky filled with flowers. tight before I let it go. Then forgave myself for what I didn't know.
We live our lives from then until now by the mercy received and the marks upon our brow.
To my heart I'll collect what the four winds will scatter and
free my life by before and after.
My soul over 50 states. I have lived on fumes and religious conclaves. Once I dreamt my shoes had grown thin and better than forgive myself for what didn't matter. God said, Cain, where is your brother? And who will tell his grieving mother? Jacob dreamt an angel called his name, and he never was quite the same.
We
this is for the short people. That's me. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa. Was that too late? Too much? Okay, sorry about that. My name is Lisa Wagley, and I serve on the administrative board. My job duties are sustainability. And what does that mean? Sustainability just means how can we as a community come together and create sustainable actions so that the work that we're doing together continues. Sarnit talked a little bit about hospitality this morning, and so we're using those QR codes that you're going to see out there in next steps to create a hospitality team. So if you are on hospitality this morning, can you raise your hand? Awesome. There's a few of us out there. Guess what? I got to meet a new friend today because I served on hospitality. I got to meet Wendy. Wendy, yay! She is an ESL teacher for Afghan women. Isn't that amazing? So really excited because I'm going to connect her with somebody here in this congregation that might be interested in knowing about what she does. That's about the connections. That's the sustainability. So when I come next Sunday and I see Wendy, I'm going to say hi. So join me, because we're really friendly, and everybody else on the hospitality team. After church, you can meet me at the Next Steps table, and I'll walk you through the whole process. It's super easy. So at this time, I'm going to invite all the children to stand up. Stand up. There you go. Awesome. And our band is now playing some really fun music for you to dance your way on, and you can follow your leaders, and y'all are going to be going to Summer Children's Activity. It's designed for our youngest children in elementary school. They get to hear stories and do some artwork, and they also get to go play on that brand new structure out there. For our smallest children, we do have loving care back in our A-frame, and that's both at this service and also at the 11 o'clock. So pretty cool. All right. I think I want to dance out. All right. So here we go. True confessions. I don't know if I had enough coffee. So if I flub up this morning, your grace will be greatly appreciated. All righty, so our reading this morning comes from Matthew 10,
verses 24 through 39. I'll be sharing an adapted version of the First Nations version of an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and we invite you to follow along. Followers are not greater than the one they follow. You who are my followers will be treated in the same ways they treat me. So consider it an honor that you will be treated the same as your wisdom keeper. If they have called the chief of the council house worthless ruler, how much worse will they speak about their members of the council? Do not fear their threats, for their evil ways will be found out. Even what they say and do in secret will be made clear for all to see. The things I have told you in secret at night, make them known when the sun rises. What I have whispered in your ears, stand on the rooftops and shout out loud for all to hear. Have no fear of your opponents, for they can only kill the body, but cannot kill your inner being. Instead, fear the one who can bring an end to your inner being in the valley of smoldering fire. Two small winged ones could be traded for two poorly beaded earrings, but not one can fall to the ground unless the Great Spirit, the Creator, knows it. You are not worth more than many small winged ones. The Great Spirit knows the number of hairs on your head, so do not fear the ones who stand against you. All who represent me before others, I will represent before the Great Spirit from above. But the ones who disown me will be disowned before the Great Spirit above. Do you look for me to bring peace to this troubled land? The message I bring will pierce like the blade of a long knife. It will turn son against father, daughter against mother, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In their own homes, they will fight like enemies, all because of me. The ones who choose their father or mother or son or daughter over me dishonor me. The ones who fail to pick up their cross and walk the road with me do not know my worth. The ones who care only for their own life will fail to find life. But the ones who will lay down their life will find me, will find true life. Thanks be.
I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer as our musicians move down. God, may the depth of your grace and love flow freely through the meditations of all of our hearts, through the words that come from my mouth, and through the silences. Help this very moment align our lives with your hope for the world. We offer this time in your creative ways in many names. Amen. In a stunningly provocative message on Luke's version of this same gospel story that Lisa just shared with us, Preacher to Preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, opens by looking out over the whole sanctuary. And she says, if any of you came here this morning believing that you were disciples of Jesus Christ, then I guess that you all who listened to that reading know better now. Of course, I could be wrong, she says, but have any of you cut yourselves off from your entire family so that there is no one to hold you back from doing whatever God calls you to do? Has anyone chosen a purpose for your life that's so publicly critical of the church and the state that there's a good chance that you'll be killed? Has anyone given up possessions, all of your possessions, so that you, whatever time you were spending buying or maintaining or protecting all of that stuff, you're now able to freely give that to God? She didn't see hands. I can't see the people online, so perhaps. But I don't think so. and you don't see mine either. Jesus calls disciples, learners. Now they're apostles, those that are sent out to do the very work that he's been doing. And his words in this are clear. He's calling them to be all in. It's both comforting and challenging regarding what lies ahead. See, these disciples, these learners, the ones who are now apostles sent out, they are to be met, Jesus tells them, Creator Sets Free tells them, with hostility, with threats, even with persecution. The powers that be, the death-dealing forces, we sang about that, Satan had me down, the death-dealing forces of the world, they will not go quietly. The followers of Jesus will need to have resolve and perseverance, as we might say today, grit. You have to go all in or not at all. This way that Jesus is calling folks to is going to require loss. Love your enemies. Hate your family. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Sell all that you own and give it to the poor. If you have not embraced these means of your own destruction, then you should pick up the cross now and find your way. Jesus, it would be quite clear, is no church growth consultant. We're going to sing about it later. The high is for the lowly. Come on, lowly. You've got to let go of it. You don't hear this message proclaimed too often on television or on screens. You have to lose your life to find true life. Lose your life to find true life. In today's reading, we're invited to make God's mission of love, justice, and healing the first priority in our lives. And Jesus puts it starkly, even over family and livelihood. Creator Sets Free says it this way in the First Nations version, "The message I bring will pierce like the blade of a long knife." I'm sure that's what everyone woke up this morning hoping to hear from the pulpit. We sang, "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me." But this morning we hear the harshest of reminders that while the good news of the gospel may be for everyone, following Jesus as a disciple, as an apostle, it would seem that is decidedly not for everyone. Creator Sets Free closes, the ones who will lay down their life for me will find true life. It turns out that text doesn't get written on our cheeks for football games or plastered on billboards quite as often as John 3:16. In the consumer culture in which we find ourselves today, we tend to think of what we'll gain or what we will win by practicing our faith as part of a Christian community. We'll gain things like inner peace. Thus, we'll be able to show up in difficult situations as a non-anxious presence. We even find research pointing this way. Folks at the Mayo Clinic, they write this, "Most studies have shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes." Good job. Way to go. These things include things like greater longevity, coping skills, even health-related quality of life, even during times of an awareness of a terminal illness. Participation in a religious community like this brings less anxiety, less depression, and even statistically less suicide. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "What's not to like? Following Jesus requires no more of you than to be the best person that you can be. And if you fail, well, he has that covered too. So will you follow him? Come on and follow. What do you have to lose?" Those sitting in the pews in Matthew's day, they were very clear about what they had to lose. Their families, their homes, their possessions, even for some of them, their lives. To follow Jesus as a disciple, a learner back then, meant walking with him to Jerusalem, leaving behind the safety of home, losing those closest to you, having no assurance about where you'll sleep or what lies around the next corner, or what servant of empire might try to block your way. What did they have to lose by following Jesus? Everything. Absolutely everything. Barbara Brown Taylor, she says, Jesus directly called, it would seem, no more than 14 people to follow him in any of the Gospels. 14 people. Jesus would never have made it as an influencer in our social media day. It seems he may have loved the followers, the disciples, those that he sends out so much that he actually wanted them to let go of the illusion that following him was for everyone and to really grapple with what he was saying. He didn't want anyone lining up behind him without counting the costs. He loved them too much for that. And besides, it was not as if their salvation depended on it. He saved all kinds of people without recruiting them to follow him. Bleeding women, blind beggars, men possessed by demons, notorious sinners. Over and over, we encounter this in all of the Gospels. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel, we read, "See," after he heals a leper, "see that you say nothing to anyone, but go." And then after healing a centurion, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith. Not come follow me. Go, go in peace. Go home. Go, good work. Not come follow me. Go in peace." And that last point, that discipleship isn't for everyone, this can be counterintuitive for most folks part of the Christian community in our day-to-day, because we tend to imagine that isn't the whole point of Christianity that anyone can become a disciple, and that the goal is to make as many disciples as possible. That's in the vision statement for the whole United Methodist Church: make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Barbara Brown Taylor invites us perhaps deeper. Well, if Jesus thought this, he had a strange way of showing it, she says. According to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus encountered thousands of people during his ministry, but only called something like 14 to be disciples. Nor did he send out the 12 to recruit and to expand their own ranks. Rather, he expressly sends them out to heal, to liberate, and to proclaim that the good news of God's healing and love, the kingdom or the kingdom of God, it's already here. It's come near. Likewise, Jesus and his entourage, they're moving about in the countryside. They're feeding, they're healing, they're teaching crowds. They're not signing people up to be disciples. For the overwhelming majority of people that Jesus meets, the signature call isn't "follow me." It's rather, "your faith has made you well. Return home. Declare to the world," or sometimes just "be quiet about it. Your faith has made you well." In short, Jesus has come to save the world, the whole cosmos, but disciples, he actually only calls a few. And the church most often misses this. The truth is, I feel like I most often miss this. Instead of allowing the depth of the challenge that Jesus gave to those right around him, I tend to soften the gospel in hopes of making Jesus' message a little bit more attainable, a little bit more realistic, and frankly, a little bit more comfortable. Laying down our lives. They can't actually mean putting my life on the line when neighbors face violence and persecution at the hands of the state or other neighbors. It's probably more like God just wants me to be ready to lay down my life. Or I could even like stave this off. I could volunteer down at Table Farm, do some good, show up in ways that Jesus might show up. Surely I won't be asked to do that lay down life thing. Or when Creator Sets Free says, stand on the rooftops and shout out loud for all to hear. That can't possibly mean that I should proclaim these values, these anti-empire values, when I'm filling out my annual tax returns, of which what percentage goes to support our military-industrial complex? It can't actually mean that I should show up with a bullhorn when a room full of cisgender lawmakers are making laws about trans neighbors that they don't know. Some don't care to know. That call to give up possessions, that must have been more like a test to see who would flinch. The softened version of that is more like, I'm not going to allow my possessions to possess me. I'm going to keep all my stuff. But it's not going to mean that much to me to keep all my stuff. And I'll even give the stuff that I'm done having as my stuff away so it can be someone else's stuff. Barbara Brown Taylor says, I do not know how the church could have survived all these years without modifying the extremism of Jesus. If everyone in the large crowd who heard him that day had taken him at his word, then I am not sure that we would be here today, because most of them would have turned away, and the few who followed him would have been dead in a few years, as extinct as woolly mammoths. She invites us to consider that maybe, just maybe, some of those who heard Creator Sets Free that day knew that they could not follow him. Sorry. Some of them, probably like some of us, had families, kids they didn't hate, lives they still loved, possessions that actually maybe didn't mean everything, but they did mean something. And they may have admired people who could walk away from everything without even asking someone around them, but that wasn't them. So they walked home. And I imagine some of them were relieved to have the gospel put so harshly before them, because the choice wasn't really a choice at all. Others may have kept imagining what it would have felt like to drop everything and to stride step by step after Jesus toward Jerusalem. Barbara Brown Taylor imagines it this way. That evening around supper tables, there was only one topic of any interest, and that was following him. And what that would mean to follow him, where that would lead, why he made it so hard. They weren't his disciples. She invites us to call them friends of the disciples. It didn't mean that they could act as if they had never heard what Jesus said. They heard it. They reflected on it. They maybe even went to bed and dreamed about it. Some maybe woke up panting in nightmares. Others wept upon waking up in the morning. Once the sun was high, though, high enough for them to be called to do their chores with the children, to care for the sheep, the crops, plenty of them wished that they had gone with him, but they'd settled back into their regular lives. Except sometimes when their own child would get sick, or when their brother-in-law wouldn't stop fighting with their other brother-in-law, or when their parents had grown so old that they couldn't remember anyone's name anymore. Oftentimes then, those friends of the disciples, they would take a deep breath, and they'd remember something of what Jesus said, and they would know that that thing they were experiencing, it isn't everything. Life goes deeper than this, they could think. They framed their lives by before and after as we sang. Remembering from time to time what Jesus said, see, if the disciples could lose everything, well, they could at least live more generously. If before and after led the disciples to literally lay down their lives, well, it could at least embolden them from time to time into some good trouble. Every now and then, of course, one of them would lose it, do something extreme, auction off their family estate, send the check to that church in Jerusalem, find some public occasion in which to remind the Roman occupiers that empire and the emperor was a straw boss face to face. On those days, Jesus would gain a new disciple. But most days, that circle of friends, they just did things like praying, breaking bread, sharing, keeping alive the story, so that even people who did not have what it took to be disciples still remembered what Jesus asked of those who followed him. Of course, some will want us to soften the message that Jesus says, follow me, lose. But today I'm grateful for the friends of the disciples who chose to persevere and to preserve that harsh, uncompromising, and beautiful call, even if that puts it out of their reach. Barbara Brown Taylor says, these folks found a way, these friends, the disciples, they found a way to live with Jesus' high call to discipleship, neither turning away from it nor lowering it, but allowing it to shimmer high over their heads, where it provoked them, disturbed them, inspired, and strangely reassured them. They may not have followed Jesus to Jerusalem, but their hearts did. Even after they counted the cost of following him and coming up short, he changed their lives all the same. When you're called to give everything away, definitely not the cough drops. Keeping that, Jesus. Even after they had counted the cost of following him, they come up short, he still changed their lives all the same. And it's why we are still here today. Because of those disciples, certainly. But even more because of the friends. The friends who are people more like us, after all. Friends who discovered, like us, that God's love is as free as rain. There is no extra reward for following. The following itself is its own reward. While the dry world waits in eager anticipation for new disciples to step out of the crowd, Peter's and Paul's, sure, but also Bonhoeffer's and Romero's and Tutu's and Teresa's, still, the gospel is given freely to all of God's friends. So may we hear with clarity Jesus' radical call to lose. Perhaps a few will truly follow. May the rest of us be friends to those who do, declaring in our words and in our actions how much God has done, and remembering that the faith of Jesus saves now and evermore. Amen.
I'm going to share a short story while you relax your throat. Relax your throat. Because that sermon and Barbara Brown Taylor, I mean, she looks like this white-haired old lady, and then she says stuff like that, and you're like,
And I have a friend like her who, his name is Paul, and he kept a portion of his taxes back for peace. It was a practice, a lot in the 70s and 80s, I think. And so the IRS came to his house one day. I had a conversation with him, the agent, and left. And he didn't hear anything for a really long time. And a couple years later, another IRS agent came. And he opened the door. And the IRS agent, didn't let him speak and said, "I don't know what you said to that last person, but they came back and packed up and quit. And I'm not going to do that." Yeah. Paul Dierdek, prophet. So it's really clear, mostly, that we are Jesus's friends. And as we prepare to break bread together, we take a moment to recognize within ourselves and in our communities our own resistance to God's call. And that is why we pause and share out loud a prayer. We don't share it publicly. Privately, it's public. So I invite us, where we are at home or here in the sanctuary, in body or in spirit, to stand as we pray this prayer of confession together. Let us pray. God of resurrection, mystery, and power, what do we have to lose by following Jesus? Everything. Absolutely everything. So we turn away. Forgive us for refusing. Forgive us for softening your radical call. Amen. Friends, God's love is as free as rain, and there is, though, no extra reward either for following. The following is the reward. Just let that sink in and assure you that the faith of Jesus provokes us and disturbs us and inspires us, but also can reassure us. So may we give thanks for those disciples long ago, for the friends of the disciples long ago. Because of them, we are here. And remember, as we break the bread and share Jesus' mission of love and justice and healing, that we too, all of us in this space and beyond, are showered by God's love. In gratitude, let us shout amen.
Amen. Amen. And I invite us to join in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the rain and the love of God poured down on each neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, the whole cosmos is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people couldn't hold to the way that God longed for them to be together. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out love and hope and justice and placed it in a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God sent Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God made us to be and to call us to abide in God's love as Jesus abides in God's unfolding grace.
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge, the call, was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table, and he promised them, and he promises us that he'll never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long-ago companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus brings to us, or what his coming and going and coming again means to us, and we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith. The night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the cup, and he blessed them both. And he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this with you now, so that whenever you gather together, you can do it in remembrance of me. Us into prayer together with words that Jesus shared with his disciples. They have been passed to us through the ages and named by the church the Lord's Prayer. We invite you to address God in the language that is most dear and true in your heart. Let us pray.
Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment, and pour your Spirit over these gifts before us. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We gather each week here and online. So this is the time for our friends that are gathering online to bring close to you your bread, your cracker, your juice, whatever it is that you are gathering, either alone or with friends. Here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal by coming forward here or going to the back. Our invitation is for everyone to come when they are ready. There are places to pray all around the sanctuary, either kneeling or standing in the back, or simply saying right where you are in your pew. That's okay too. On the platter, you will find bread that was baked for us, and there are crackers in the center that don't have gluten in them for those of us who can't eat gluten. And in the cup, in our tradition, is always grape juice. Many of us in this room experience this as a weekly practice. Many of us in this room have never done anything like this before, and all of us can say, that's okay. That is good. And we help one another. We watch over one another in love, and we trust that God speaks to us and invites us, and that we hear that call when we are ready.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you all, and the cup of God's forgiveness and healing poured out for the whole world.
Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you desire. Loving God, for your love that is falling as freely as the rain, we give you thanks. May this reminder through the breaking of the bread and the sharing of your story, be enough to call us into the world to take our part in bringing your healing and hope in any place that we find ourselves. So we offer this time in our lives in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Some of us may be called, like a few of those that Barbara Brown Taylor talked about, to sell the house and to give it all away. Many of us may be called just to a deeper expression of what generosity looks like today, maybe deeper than it was yesterday, deeper tomorrow than today. And our hope is that you'll reflect, that we'll reflect on what that looks like in our own lives. There are ways for you to share generously of your own resources here with this community, and we encourage you to wonder what that looks like for you and how you might grow in that. We also have ways to connect and to share God's love in the world by being part of the hospitality team outside, as Lisa named earlier in worship. We have farm shifts down in Hollywood Park to grow food alongside neighbors to give away. We encourage you to whichever of those or all of those that you might be called to. Just outside the doors, our young people will be selling bread from Rise Up over in San Francisco, and we're going to move in the coming week, we hope, to offering that as a subscription as well. So we'll share more about that in the days ahead. But for today, those of us that are in person can find that amazing sourdough bread just right outside the door. We invite you to stand as you're willing and able. Our musicians are going to send us out this morning with a song that will help us to find our way. God's love is as free as the rain, or for those here in Sacramento, as free as the sun which shines upon us. And the truth is that there's no extra reward for following. Following is the reward itself. So friends, this day, what will we do with our one wild, precious life? Go in peace. Amen.